You're listening to All Things Considered on 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Good afternoon. I'm Deborah Becker. Thousands of parents in Massachusetts are dealing with a child with addiction. And one of the most public cases is that of Dudley District Court Judge Tim Bebo, who runs the drug court in Dudley and whose daughter was arrested in October.
She's in treatment. She's doing very well. Obviously, you don't like to read about it in the newspaper every day and become some sort of sensational issue where it's just a kid with a substance use disorder.
The arrest of Bebo's 31-year-old daughter, Allie Bebo, ultimately led to lawsuits and the departure of the head of the Massachusetts State Police over allegations that her arrest report was revised because her father is a judge. In the initial arrest report, state troopers wrote that Allie Bebo offered sexual favors to troopers in exchange for leniency. Investigators have found that some law enforcement officials tried to remove those statements from Bebo's arrest report, and they've reportedly referred the case to the State Ethics Commission. Judge Bebo has not been implicated in the controversy and has not spoken publicly until this past weekend, after he addressed a conference for those whose loved ones are addicted. While the judge said he couldn't talk about specifics of his daughter's case because of the ongoing investigation, he vehemently denied any involvement.
You know, she got arrested and she's in treatment. She's doing very well. My family, our only concern is getting her well. But to read some of the things is really incomprehensible, some of the things that, you know, people have alleged. But we're going to concentrate on her getting well, and I'm going to continue to do my job in my court and try to help as many people as we can.
In the case of your personal story, congratulations on your daughter, by the way.
Thank you.
It was hugely high profile because the state police were accused of changing an arrest report on your daughter because you were a judge, and
it's absolutely tragic. I mean, there was never at any point she was not going to take responsibility for her actions. I mean, I bailed her out, you know, allegations of a cover-up. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't even read the police report. I'm not going to comment on the police report. I don't know why, you know. I really don't know a whole lot about what happened. You know, I was told the truth to whoever, to the investigators, and, you know, my only concern was getting her well. There was never any point at any time she was not going to take responsibility for her actions, ever.
And today she is 8 months?
Eight months. She's up in Portland doing very well, working and really working very, very hard at her recovery.
How does that affect your work? I mean, obviously, this whole idea of being personally involved has got to have a huge effect on what you do, and even how you started working in the drug court.
Yeah, no, I'll be honest with you. I mean, it was tough going on the bench for 4 or 5 months when, you know, people are throwing accusations at you, and she wasn't involved in the kidnapping of the Lindbergh baby. She was a kid with a substance use disorder. That's all it was. I mean, and to read all this madness, and it was difficult for me. It really bothered my drug court kids, seeing me be accused of allegations that were just, you know, so unfounded.
You run the drug court in Dudley, and what that is really is sort of an intense probationary period that focuses on getting people treatment and
Correct.
Diverts them from incarceration, right? Can you explain it to people who don't know? Is that
Sure.
essentially it?
Sure. It's if you fail probation a number of different times, this is kind of like a last chance. So we create a program, a treatment protocol for them with the assistance of the whole team, which is clinicians, prosecutors, defense bar, probation, and we get an individual treatment program that works, and they have to get a year of sobriety.
So there's intense supervision there. Some people might think that would increase the likelihood of incarceration for someone who's sort of teetering there. What do you say to that, to folks who may be reluctant to go into that kind of a setting because there's more oversight?
Yeah, but I think it's a question of trust in the beginning. Some of these kids can pay a fine and move on. This might be a simple possession charge, but, you know, the bulk of the time is that they see their lives actually getting better.
Have you ever had to send a drug court participant to jail that you didn't want to?
Oh, every person you send to jail you don't want to. You know, but it's a public safety issue. If they're, you know, completely non-compliant and it's a case that, you know, demands incarceration or calls for that, yeah, you've got to do your job. To get to the point where you're being incarcerated, you fail not just once, not just twice, you fail a number of different times because we throw everything at the client so that they can have the best chance of success.
Do you think you're an outlier in the criminal justice system? I mean, I know there are other drug courts, but it doesn't seem that there's consistency, certainly across the board, in the criminal justice system in terms of the way this is dealt with, and even within drug courts.
No, I completely agree, because it's really predicated upon the personality and the mission of a judge. I'm not sure I'm an outlier, because we conform to all the best practices. And am I different? I'm probably different. I would admit to that. I've got some skin in the game. I've dealt with this personally, so I realize what a toll it takes on everybody. So if I do something different, it's on behalf of the kid and the family. I'm just trying to do whatever I can to open up the doors of recovery.
But what about consistency among courts? I mean, there is not right now consistency in terms of how things are handled. And so what do you do to address that?
I am really encouraged. Quite honestly, if you told me that we would have made this much progress to this point, I would have said, wow, I wouldn't have thought it possible. But for so long, we were so uneducated about addiction. And I know that Governor Baker and his team have opened those doors. You know, we'll just do whatever we can to service as many people as we can. But it's getting there. I mean, I'm an optimist. But, the issue of compassion and treating people like human beings goes a long way.
What's the lesson that you take away from this? I mean, is there a main lesson?
Yeah, I think that everybody thinks it can't happen to them. It can happen to everybody. I mean, she was a kid who graduated from college with a 3.9, speaks two languages, and some trauma in her life, led to her masking the pain. I mean, you can't oversimplify it, but sometimes you can. And it was just tragic that she had to be my daughter to be, have such a firestorm result as a result of her arrest. But she's taken complete responsibility for what she's done, and she's working her recovery. But yeah, it was difficult. It's been incredibly difficult to my family. Seeing satellite trucks in front of your house when you come home, and I'm just trying to do a job. We're pretty simple people. That's all we're trying to do.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me, and congratulations on the drug court in Dudley, and especially on your daughter.
Come on out sometime. We'd love to have you.
All right. Thanks. I will. Massachusetts District Court Judge Tim Bebo oversees the drug court session in Dudley. He spoke this weekend at a conference of the parent advocacy group Learn to Cope.